Welcome back to the PYP, the Practical Youth Pastor. I'm your host, Chris Hahn, along with
Steve Johnson.
Steve Johnson. As usual, how are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing fantastic. It's always nice to be back with you. It's been a whole week.
Yeah, it has. And another special guest, one of our youths are with us. Ian, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Chris?
Tris, I like Chris. That.
And from here on out, it's Tris.
Tris.
All right.
You know, since Jordan was on the show that one time, he still calls you Scott.
Oh, I know. He doesn't know my name.
He was mentioning a parent, Scott, and he's like, you know, I hung out with Scott. I got a one-on-one with Scott the other day. And I was like...
You're like, Johnson?
I was like, that's fantastic. But the context of what he was talking to Scott about was like one of his kids. And I was like, dude, we don't meet with Steve Johnson's kids. He's in a different church.
He just assumed that anybody that comes to the podcast is part of the family.
It was Graham's dad.
Oh, ooh, shooter Graham. Don't worry, I'll be coach Scott to Graham here soon.
Right. That's great. He needs you in his life. But anyway, yeah, he still refers you to Scott. So if you're listening to this episode, it is entitled on wherever you're listening to this podcast as a bonus track to the last series we had, because we got a request to cover something, or I guess you'd call it like an addendum or an addition to the last previous episode series we had on the great sheep migration, when we talk about kids that jump from youth group to youth group to youth group and what to do and whatnot. So Steve, what was that?
Well, this is how authentic we are, that when you do write in with your questions, we do make sure to answer them. Now, I'm unsure, Chris, we didn't get a chance to talk about this from a production standpoint. Do I simply say the first and last initial like you would if someone was writing into VeggieTales, or do I completely keep this person anonymous?
You can write into VeggieTales?
Yeah, I used to. Remember? They'd say,
when that came out.
This letter comes from Tris Holland, or Tris H., in Podunkville, Alabama. Chris writes.
I've heard a few of those.
Yeah. So can I do it that way?
Oh, or Magic School Bus.
No.
Magic School Bus?
Let's not be secular here.
Back in the day, they used to say, you know, this person would call in.
It's not true. You're just trying, you thought about something that was a contemporary show for when you were little, and you're just throwing it out there.
That's true. All right.
I've answered my own question.
That's true.
So Joel S. writes to us from all the way in Tucson, Arizona.
Wow.
And he asks, how do you handle kids leaving because their parents are leaving the church to things outside of your control? Thanks, Joel, for writing in, taking that time, and being our listener. Chris, what are your initial thoughts on that? I have to look at it again. I was expecting you to take it right away. How do you handle kids leaving because their parents are leaving the church to things outside of your control? Now, I know, Chris, initially you'd said, divide and conquer, make the kid realize that the parents are wrong and you're right, and build allegiance. But I think we should go in a different direction, because this is practical. And so practically speaking, other than splitting the family for ego, what would you recommend if this was a problem that you were confronted with?
I mean, I have a couple questions, so we'll have to qualify. So the first one, the parents are leaving to go to another church closer to their home, right? Could be a scenario where a kid goes, like, hey, we're going to another church. Like, we have a family like that right now that lives on the far southeast side, and there's a church much closer that's one of our sister churches, like Rincon.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, we're just so far away, it's going to take an hour to get here, you know? We've had, you all have that. Every youth leader listening has had that. You have kids that leave, but they're in the same town, but they're just leaving their proximity inside that same town. That'd be one thing, but he didn't really specify if they're just leaving the church, they're not Christian anymore.
Well, because maybe we could tackle that one really quickly. Obviously, be that the case.
That's an easy one.
Yeah. You give them the right hand of fellowship, kiss both cheeks, wish them the best, and maybe give that youth pastor a call and say, hey, you're getting a great kid and a great family. Here's what you need to know about them. You're transferring credits if you would. But maybe, Chris, allow me to just answer my own question here. But maybe what it is it's something bad. I think Joel S. in Tucson was thinking of maybe there was a situation that he'd heard of or read about or dreamt about in which maybe the parents got angry, maybe, and this kind of teases out our next series. Maybe there was some church hurt, and so as a result of that church hurt, the family is turning heels. They're packing a sack lunch and getting on. What then, Chris?
What? let's go down the line. So the with the first one, like if you have, I agree with you. I mean, I think if a kid is going to another youth group, because the family's moving proximity for because of the value of how close that other church is, I think that's actually a really wonderful thing. I think that's good for people to attend churches in their proximity, in their community.
Right.
To do community ministry, that's going to benefit that local church so much more. And I would highly advise that, and I have advised that to families in the past. This other church is so much closer. Another youth guy, let me connect you.
Right.
It's very rare that that happens because generally families attend the church closest to their home anyway. But it does happen.
Well, and in your case, their youth guy's a friend of the show.
Hey, well, so that's easy. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
It's fixed. But if it is like what you and I are trying to do in this town as far as like connecting friendships and you know, youth pastors or youth pastors and trying to grow friendships and partnerships and relationships, then Lord willing, you're in a place where you've already built that relationship and you're like, hey, I know about Midway. I know about Holy Cross over here. We're friends. We get lunch. I tell you what, let me give you the youth guy's number and I'll connect you guys in a text, or let's all go get coffee or something sometime and let's talk and share. And so you
that's
can,
an awesome way to hand it off.
Somebody,
yes. You know?
And I think that's a really beautiful thing. I mean, the church is supposed to work together. We're not supposed to be competitors. And more, I think our culture needs to experience churches loving each other that way.
Absolutely.
And sharing and saying, we can't win this town without each other. On the other hand, what you're saying is a family is leaving because they're upset with your church.
That's what I took away from our fan.
It's like a splant, or it's a split situation. The pastor says something, or just they have a bad situation, a church hurt situation, and they're like, we're getting out of town. We're going to move churches for bad reasons. Should you maintain and continue to pursue that youth in your youth group, even though they're moving to another church, but it's kind of a weird, hard situation.
Right, but I wonder if it wouldn't be a good strategy, a good practical strategy, to still follow the exact same suit. Perhaps reach out to the family and say, hey, I know that you're, it sounds like you're moving on. I'm sorry, you know, I don't need to know the details, but if you've been hurt in any way, I'm really sorry. I just, I wanted to extend the invitation to use me as a resource. If you guys do find another church, I would love to reach out to that youth pastor and tell them all about, you know, Janie's worst unconfessed sins or whatever, bring the file over. No, but you know, I think you can offer that so that they understand that support, because like you joked about like, you know, separate the family, but that is essentially what's at stake here, right?
Yeah, big time.
Churches are the collection of families. It is the presbytery for the family church. And so of course they're going to go together. They ought to go together. That's what's best for everybody. Yeah. So perhaps you're not tackling it so much from a student leaving perspective as a whole family unit. And, you know, regardless of how your church views you as a youth pastor, a youth director, mm-hmm. that's not always synonymous with elder, but taking that pastoral or shepherding posture would mean you want to do everything you can to help smoothly transition out that family. And you mm-hmm. don't have to do it in a, I'm going to accept fault on behalf of my pastor or my elder's standpoint. Right. You can keep yourself out of the drama and by stating that and simply doing everything you can to make the transition easiest.
Yeah. Absolutely, and if anything, I think that would bring in a. If the parents have issues with the ethics or the integrity, you know, and it's not like the pastor was sleeping with X, like a moral failure type situation, which it's just all out war when that happens
right.
in churches. But if it's just like a, we don't think that the church should do this way, and it's a preferential thing or a minor theology type thing that's not heresy. And they're leaving, and it's like, we just, you know, we're not Calvinistic. We mm-hmm. would like to go to a place more Arminian for ourselves.
Right.
And we want our children to grow up as Arminian. That's a reasonable desire.
We want to fear the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
More.
The Left Behind series.
Yeah, yeah.
And the new movie coming out.
We don't think it's already happened. We think it's getting ready to, and we want to be with like-minded. Yeah, I get that.
They found the calf. Or, anyway, but like, but then, I mean, it's like, well, I can restore and redeem some of that. The feeling that you don't feel like we don't have integrity, just being honest and saying, well, I love your kid, regardless of your issues. I love you guys. And hopefully you got a relationship with them. But I was like, can I connect you with a local church, like that other youth pastor I'm friends with, and just connect you guys? Now, they may totally say, no, absolutely not. Who knows? But all you can do is control yourself and say, hey, I just, you know, love you guys. I'm going to miss you. If you need anything, please let me know.
And I'll caution you, this happened to me recently. I heard that someone was leaving. There had been some issues with the student, and I knew that they were frustrated with me. And I already knew that they were going. And so I just shot a text asking for a phone call. They just wanted to keep it text, which is fine. I said, hey, just I want to apologize for my role in this. And it sounds like you guys are heading off. So I just want to wish you well and wherever you go. And they took that as me not fighting for them. So sometimes you just can't win, right?
Is that how you do it with all your kids?
My personal children or the youth kids?
I was just making a joke that was your daughter saying that with two. But anyway, yeah.
You know, Chris, humor's fine and all, and it can be a tool, but I feel like you use it as a weapon. And Ian and I were talking earlier. We think that it's the whole hurt people thing.
That's true.
So maybe keep it tucked in just while we have our listeners, and then you can just unpack it all.
But Steve, like, you got to admit, when you do this show without your shirt on, it kind of takes it to a different place.
It kind of throws me off.
A, it's May in Tucson, and B, you guys have a swamp cooler. What am I supposed to do? At least it's wrapped around my head to keep the sweat out of my eyes.
Wear a mesh half shirt like Ian's doing.
That's true.
It's so much better.
Ian's
breezy,
needs grade, though.
Silky, it's smooth. You can use it for football.
It looks good.
It was gifted to him.
I mean, yeah, so.
Anyway.
But yeah, I mean, I think if you know, you're rightly assessing it. I mean, this all goes without saying that you need to have a conversation with your pastor.
Right.
You and your boss essentially need to have a conversation. Say, hey, tell me about the Joneses.
How can I keep up with them?
You know, is this a deeper issue? Because a lot of times, like, I personally don't want to know what the issues are of why a family's leaving if a youth kid. Like, I want to know, but I don't want to know.
Right.
If it's something with the parents, like if, let's say the dad was unfaithful to the wife with someone at the church,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I've seen that before, and the details started to come to unfurl, and like, that stuff's hard.
It is,
you know, and it's still really close to me, and in one sense, like, I want to know why the kid's leaving, because I love the kid,
right?
I really love the dad too, and the parents too, but then I don't want to. It just hurts too much to know. And so just tell me what I need to know.
Yeah.
And I love you.
Just enough to be able to love them. Right. And sometimes you don't know anything and you still have that posture of, look, don't leave me behind too. This relationship's a real thing, you know?
Yeah. And so just knowing your pastor and having a good, you know, line of communication on these situations is really important, I think. So, hey, tell me about the Joneses. I haven't seen their kid in youth group. They're not responding to texts and calls, which happens often.
Right. I've been by their house a couple times, checked the windows. They still live there because the fan was on.
Yeah. Tell me, you know, what's going on there? I can't get anybody, you know, to respond. Oh, well, you know, they went through some stuff, you know, and they're looking at other churches. They're attending this other church now. A good question would be, is it anything that I could do better, anything I need to speak into in my department? Or would you advise boss that I kind of lay off and lay low, and I just make myself available, and let your pastor help you with that, and walk you through what you ought to do. If it's a situation where a family is leaving proximity, you know, they're in good standing with the church and with you. They're just leaving proximity. I would do the best that I can do to send that kid off well. We had a kid a number of years ago he was like in high school. He took very seriously. Which you'd always want to see in your high school group. He was a student. He was a junior, sophomore, junior. He was always saying, "Hey, how can I hang out with some middle schoolers, and can I jump in and co-lead a small group with the middle schoolers?"
He qualified that.
I just want to help.
Yeah.
He was like part-time homeschool, part-time public school.
Sure.
To supplement what his homeschool group could not do, so he would do that in the public school. So he was a really good fresh balance, but he was very responsible, trusted him a lot. And I was like, of course, like, let's get you in. So he was that caliber of kid that mm-hmm. you really want to see owning his faith, owning the ministry, and taking part and contributing. They ended up moving from Alabama to Texas because his dad got a job. because he had just done so much and had such a great effect on all the kids, like, we had a big party for him and his brothers and his invited his parents, said, we want to send you off. We gathered him up at the end of the Bible study and said, okay, guys, the Ramseys are leaving. Everybody come up here, lay a hand, let's pray for him. And we prayed for him. The youth had gotten together and made this fun video for him, just like recalling old memories.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was just like, we love you guys. We're going to miss you. And I gave the youth opportunity, especially the middle school opportunity, to say kind things about this kid. I mean, it was super meaningful, and I wanted it to be sort of like a Paul is leaving and imparting his final kind of words, and he's allowed to be loved by that congregation because he may not see him again. You know, and they got to say that. This student got to say, I love you guys, I miss you, and he charged them to work hard and to really take their faith seriously. I mean, that means 10,000 times more having a peer say that than having a youth leader who's paid to be there say that.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that's where we leaned into them leaving. We didn't get upset. We're just like, we love you, and we want to contribute towards this, and we're going to send you off well. And I mean, even to this day, a lot of those kids now are seniors and juniors that he was in the small group with, you know, and they look back to it every time I go to Bama and I meet with them. I'm like, do you keep in touch with him? He's like, oh yeah, he totally keeps in touch with us. Now those kids are doing the same thing he was doing. So it just has this legacy effect, you know, to what you're doing. And so sometimes you may need to lean into it if it's a good leave.
Yeah.
Appropriate leave. Now, if it's like, we're leaving him, we're never coming back to church again, mom and dad are atheists now, but the kid wants to still be involved, you know, I would go to the parents and say, hey.
Are you guys still going to tithe or fill it out?
I mean, that's the energy.
We want your kid to stick around, but boy, just want to make sure you're secure in your giving.
I mean, you don't have to care, but we need you to care.
Yeah, we don't do this for free, anyway.
You have to care.
Yeah, you have to care. I mean, I think I would go to the parents then and say, hey, I am so sorry for the experience you're having, you know, and I'm, you know, want to be there for your kid. I love your kid. Do you want me to reach out to your kid and still invest in them? Because I just want to be transparent with you.
Yeah.
I'm pursuing them, the person and the soul. And I still want to share the gospel with them, but I don't want to get in the way of what, you know, you want for him or whatever. I mean, I've never had a situation like this, so I can only guesstimate what I would say. I still think being transparent and above board on your intentions with kids is really important. And I think it's okay to go to that parent and say, but I got to make the ask. Can he still come to youth group? Y'all aren't going to church anymore, but can he still come? He's got a lot of friends here, and the work that we're doing is important. And I think that he's going to grow in that. Can he still come? And or she so like, and make that ask and try to be honest about it. What would you do? Have you had that before?
No, kids tend to leave my youth group once they go to college. It's just not that big of a group, so we haven't had tons of experience of that. For those of you not watching us live on YouTube, Chris just got delighted that somebody entered his office and is gone. So just Ian and I now. But I'll continue to talk. I haven't experienced a lot of that, except to say, usually the students that tend to leave after time are kids that came as friends of kids that go to our church. So I don't have the relationship with the parents. It's mostly I know the kid on the grounds of the personal relationship or with the friend that brought them. So I'll have those conversations. But despite the fact that we meet in a corner of a good-sized Christian school where kids come in and out a lot, we haven't had that much transiency. Chris, who was the special guest that made you light up like a firework on the 4th of July?
He was a junk removal guy. I guess we had the church office had called for.
And you were expecting him?
I think you're good.
No, I wasn't. He was looking for our facilities guy.
Okay.
And just didn't see anybody. He walked up and down and didn't see anybody.
If you happen to see your facilities guy, could you let him know that the paper towel dispenser in the closest bathroom is messed up and there's a ring around the urinal?
Plug that again.
I was kind of like, wow, looks like CFC's cutting back on their facility guy.
We're trying to be good stewards of God's money.
Yeah, you are.
You know, and so if we got to tear back 2-3 hours.
Well, that's the forgotten bathroom anyway.
Yeah, but it is not the private bathroom with the bidet.
What, is that the secret one off the sanctuary?
Yes. It's a dream.
It's very nice.
Which leads us to our next point, our first, very first sponsor, Tushy.
Yes. I was going to go with the...
Cleans your butt so you don't have to.
is that why we got the $14 check? Yeah. From Tushy?
$14.35, which equals to these little bamboo towelettes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They cost awesome. $14.35.
Oh. So it's basically like a product placement.
It's like an understood kind of...
That's kind of cool.
You do this for us and, you know, we'll extend a little bit more $14.35 checks to you.
No, I think that would be a good practical topic is do you ever take a twozer at work? I will say that in 4.5 years here, I think I might have gone twice, and it had to do with Raw, the sushi place across the street. Anyway, so what do you think? Is that a good standalone episode? Joel S., I hope that we answered your question right. Just to recap, we talked about what happens if it's just an amicable change of life circumstances, and then we talked about what happens if the ground starts moving under their feet because adult problems.
And the last perspective is Ian's.
Yeah, Ian, what do you think?
I actually have chop. One question.
Yeah.
Steve, you said that most of the kids that leave are only friends of kids that attend your youth, or it could be Chris's.
Yeah. They don't go, they don't like Chris.
A youth. How long does it usually take for that only friend of a kid to, like, I don't want to say promote, but like get to the point where they're a member in that youth because they like the content, or is it just because they like their friends?
Oh yeah, that's a good question. I can answer earnestly with one group of kids. We had 7 or 8 kids that all came to us because one of them knew our pastor's daughter when they were little. And these, I call them my rednecks, and they race their giant trucks for pink slips and drink down by the bonfire and do all those rednecky things. And I won't say that there weren't times where they were there because of the ladies or this or that, but I can say earnestly that what has kept at least a couple of these guys here has been our time in the Word, which is so contrary to what I'm used to. Usually what happens is, you know, when I was in high school and middle school, I came for the games, the girls, my friends. But I've had these guys that work these jobs on like pipelines in West Texas text me and say, hey, I'm on my way. I'm going to be about 45 minutes late. Is it okay if you guys play the game first and get that out of the way so I don't miss the talk? That's pretty good. Atypical.
Yeah.
But they also aren't coming from households where there's a lot of that. And so that might not even be a normal test sampling, because I think a lot of my kids that are in church and go to Christian school and have devotions in their home, they value it, but they also value the other stuff. But it definitely, with the exception of those guys right there, I don't know if I could give you a real clear picture. Man, it is like a terminal at an airport. Everybody is walking by. Everybody and Chris has to make puppy dog eyes at every person that walks by. My goodness. If you want, press pause on this. Go talk to your people. Uh-huh. But Ian and I are tired of carrying this.
Yeah.
Chris has been in the room for this podcast for just over a minute and a half.
And what you heard me say earlier was earlier recorded.
Correct. I had to play off my phone. No, but if you hear me monologuing, just know that's not my normal way. Crud, where did Chris take his headset Chris off go? And he ran off? And
Steve's looking at a wall.
Garbage disposal guy's back.
Yeah.
So that we could make room for Ian, we relegated Steve to the back.
I'm actually off site right now, yeah. My old original office is where you're keeping those tables.
Well, we tore our wall down back there, actually. Oh, fancy. We're about to put some barn doors up and whatnot.
Man.
Yeah, but Ian, I'm trying to remember now your question. It's been so long.
The kids that come to a youth group, it could be yours or Scott's or Steve's.
Tris?
Yeah, Tris. The kids that, because most new kids that come there are only going to be there because their friend goes there and they were invited or something and they just want to have fun. How long does it take? And how does it happen for that kid only to be there for their friends to the point where they're there for the content of what the speaker is saying or they're being taught? And what's the ratio between the kids that are just there for the friends or there for the content?
Yeah, I think that's one of those questions every youth leader is always asking as you eat a cream cheese ragu. Which leads us to our second sponsor, Panda Express. We cook the panda, you eat it.
Which leads us to, again,
which is why they're not popular in China right now. They're interconnected. We like to have synergy with our sponsorships. All right. They gave us $2.17 and a fortune cookie and a crab rangoon today.
So. I just got a notification. We're down to 11 listeners. So two rolled off. Maybe we need to land this plane, Chris.
I think Bev is on vacation this week.
Okay, that's part of it.
That's it.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's kind of the question that every youth leader is looking at or considering is what reduces churn is like the business term, I guess you could say, like people that come in and then they roll out fast.
Yeah.
And turnover is another one. People that come in and commit and then they roll to another place. And you're always trying to look at those things. Point one would be, those should be metrics. A successful youth ministry is a youth ministry that is built on metrics of relationship, faithfulness to God's word, and just integrity for your community, I think.
Uh-huh.
So relationship is something we tell our small group leaders, and small group leader thing is Lindsay, Jordan, and I may get a kid here with relationship, or the other kids at CFC Kids may get their friends here. But what keeps a kid here is a relationship with small group leaders, like one-on-one things or like small group relationships. That those are the things that keep a kid here and reduce your churn or whatever. And so that would be the first answer is how long does it take before that kid will take the group and own it?
Until he has a relationship with one of the group leaders.
I think it's based on a relationship. But that just happens to be one of the most powerful and biblical tools of discipleship too. And so you're like, just follow what the scripture says and follow the Great Commission and go out and baptize and disciple, you know, folks. And if you're good and faithful in your discipleship and training requires time, requires relationship. And the more relationship you have, the easier it is. The flow that the negative side of that is that the trend, unfortunately, oftentimes is what can we do to keep our kids, to keep kids here? Not necessarily our kids, but keep a lot of kids here.
Yeah.
What can we do that in order to keep a high attendance to reduce churn? We'll do gimmicks. We'll pursue to give away a bunch of free crap or a bunch of stuff, or we'll make it super, super fun and it's never serious and it's never really digging in. So it just becomes kind of a boys and girls club or a social party. And there's no real meat. The kid's never engaged and said be asked, how does this scripture affect and hit you? And then how are we going to walk through repentance together, walk through sanctification together, and remind each other of our justification in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to do that? And that's what a healthy youth group should be doing, is those things, in addition to some other things. But unfortunately, a lot of churches will look at it and say, well, we're going to reduce churn. We're going to just have a million kids here. Well, what does it take to get and keep a million kids in a youth group? A whole lot of gimmicks.
A lot of money.
Free crap. Candy.
I mean, just survey your own school, like your own group of, like, it's one of those things, like, how many times do we see tons and tons of kids go into this group or this thing or whatever because of the stuff they're giving away or the thing that they're doing? And so the idea of, like, church loyalty, retention, commitment, it just doesn't exist as much anymore. It's a very minor. So to put a percentage on it, I'm just guessing here, I'd say probably around 15 to 20% of youth actually are reminded by their parents, hey, we took a vow to contribute toward the worship and work of this church and congregation, and we're going to remain faithful. This is our church, and this is your youth group. Mm-hmm. Invite your friends here if you want to, but we've made a commitment. And but your situation is really unique. So Ian's family attends, I keep thinking Midway.
Midtown?
It's like Midtown Press.
It's like the grandchild church of this church. This church plan and Rincon.
Yeah. Yes, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
But your church doesn't have a youth program.
Yeah, it's a brand new planted church.
Something in like 3-4 years ago or whatever, we met and you came up here and...
Well, it was over those Zoom calls because COVID.
Oh, really?
Youth was over Zoom calls and I just jumped
Chris
on.
Chris is so lame.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
And we were doing Zoom before COVID happened.
Even lamer.
I didn't really like kids back then. So
I still don't.
Same old well, and your mom does work here, and your grandpa's an elder here, right?
Yeah.
So you got some ties.
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. But at the core of it, I think if I know your parents really well, and if Midtown had a youth group, they'd be like, "We committed to this church. We're going here." But mm-hmm. we're going on a double date with your parents Thursday. Mm-hmm. You know, like we hang out.
Wait, time out. You and Ian are going on a double date with his parents?
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Yep.
It's a counseling circle, is what we call it. He sits in the middle, and we kind of do this.
Yeah.
And then
like, I shake on the ground a little bit.
That's cool.
I make statements, and Ian agrees or disagrees, and then we argue about it in front of his parents.
Man, what a complex style of ministry you have.
We pray, we cry. It's a really beautiful moment.
All before the entrees come.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But you have a couple of those where kids don't have, they just don't have a youth program at their church, and they were friends of friends that showed up, and we leaned into it, connected with their parents, said, what's your expectations out of a youth ministry? Why are you not a member in your own youth ministry at your own church or whatever, you know, just getting to know them.
Like, sure.
Why are you here? Not to repel, and we don't turn anybody away, but we're just like, we just want to have integrity with the other youth groups and other churches in our town. So, mm-hmm. I don't know if that answers your question. 15-20% is the metric.
Uh-huh. What do you think is like, you said 15-20% would be that, I guess, core group that are there for the content. What do you think is too much to ask for? Is it more than that? Exactly that? Less?
Like, is it unrealistic to think of more?
Yeah.
Like, unrealistic? Say that in another way.
Let's see.
He needs you to draw something.
Yeah.
Draw a diagram.
I think what he's saying is that 15-20%... engagement rate based solely off of the content of the group. Is that something that can be improved upon, or should we realistically think that that's a pretty good number?
Is that what you're
yes,
asking?
Yes.
So how you grow loyalty and commitment within a youth group is what I said, relationship that will tend to grow. Mm-hmm. As your youth program grows and is solidified and you now have an identity, like a reputation in your town, we are shooting for a reputation of we take discipleship seriously, we take one-on-ones seriously, we take like preaching God's word expositionally on Wednesday nights, we go verse by verse seriously. We're entering a stage now where we take like community ministry very seriously.
Yeah.
And so I'm starting to take my small groups to downtown to feed homeless people.
I meant to go to that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Sunday. Yeah. Well, that's different. That's different. That was City Serve. But what I'm doing on Wednesday afternoons now, feel free to join, is taking freshman guys downtown to feed homeless people.
Can't do this week, but next week.
Yeah, join in whenever. Yeah. And we'll do that more and more. And I'm just, what I'm trying to do is model for them lifestyle evangelism. And because, you know, just of the nature of the private school, it's so easy to become very numb to spiritual things. Well, the thing that typically will jar somebody out of that numbness is practicing your faith, which you don't really have. I mean, you have to do it in small chasms in your private Christian school. But like facing down the barrel of a gun of a very explicitly clear, hard situation is not something often a lot of kids are facing.
Yeah.
And so to jar that numbness and try to loosen that and soften the heart, it just requires kind of, I don't want to say extreme, because it's not extreme to go feed a homeless person some food. Mm-hmm. But in our culture, it kind of is, actually.
It's
not an everyday thing.
Yeah, it's not.
So doing things like that, where you're actually revealing to a kid why faith matters, how you actually can be useful in the church, even though you're young, because a lot of times youth ministries are treated like just like graduated childcare. And youth pastors are treated that way too, unfortunately. But it's by you continue to raise the ante of what you're doing, how you're exposing kids to lostness and hard things, and by how you're training them for ministry occupation.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Like what you'll see this summer is a couple of high schoolers teaching the middle school.
Really? That'll be good.
And in return, a couple of middle schoolers teaching the high school.
That's going to be a hoot.
That'd be just to be fair. Oh, goodness.
But you'll begin to see where they have opportunities to take ownership. They're not expected to take ownership. They're given opportunities to take ownership. Because if you expect a kid to take ownership, you're going to be expecting that forever.
I forgot what you said. Say that like last two sentences.
Yeah, but say it like a normal person.
Say it better.
Yeah.
y'all. If you're expecting a kid to take ownership,
yeah,
you'll be waiting forever. But if mm-hmm. you give a kid an opportunity to take ownership,
you'll be waiting a little bit.
You'll be waiting just a little bit.
I like
bit.
That a lot. The expectations, no. Opportunity over expectations. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Like this Wednesday night.
I need you to teach.
yeah, I feel it for me. It's in Revelation 20.
No. Any book, but not.
I'm just kidding. But like this Wednesday night, me, yeah. Jordan, and Lindsay, we're gathering all the high school and the middle school at the end of the, we're going to have 15-minute block before small groups. So okay. after each talk, we're all going to go down there together, everybody, and have just a family meeting and say, hey, here's what we're noticing in our group. We think you're ready for X, and we're gonna open up the opportunities for ownership and say, if you want to do this, we're not going to be able to do it. You have to do it. So if you want to take this group seriously, here's the opportunities for it. Run with it. We want you to do things. We want uh-huh. you to run forward and try things and fail forward. Like, we want you to take those things and try them. And so we're really, really super excited to do yeah. that. A lot of youth ministries don't do that. And a lot of them do too. But a lot of them don't do that because they're afraid of just losing control, or they're afraid of what parents will say, and they're afraid mm-hmm. of a kid getting up there and preaching another gospel, you know, which is a reasonable thing.
Sure.
But if you're discipling, you're working, you're relationing with them.
I think the term is relating. I don't think you can relation with anybody and not be in.
He had relations with Monica yeah, Lewinsky.
It's a different context. But that took in front of an eighth grader.
But it is one of those things. Like, we're just trying to encourage, you know, students to take ownership. And how do you massage that in? By having a relationship with them that is meaningful.
Uh-huh. I would say you said 15 to 20% would be that, like, I don't want to say quality, but that core group, I would think that that's pretty good numbers for basing it off my experience with the content of character with people my age mm-hmm. and like 6th through 8th. I've had a lot of experience with high school, but not enough to base off my yeah. opinions off of. I think that's really good numbers, 15-20%.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're taking a deep dive into our youth program, last year's high school guys group.
That was a great group.
That was solid.
Look, said yeah. Josh.
Josh was there.
It was Josh. Intern Hunter, Josh. Brady for a little bit.
It was great.
Was that the year Alex? No. She's
well,
not
that's
a
our
dude.
Intern group. But I'm saying yeah, like Wednesday, like the Wednesday nights last year when yeah. we separated girls from guys. Guys just dug deep into counseling yeah. and did that.
That's when I joined the high school. That was good.
And that was real solid content that forced us all to be really transparent and honest with ourselves. And we uh-huh. had a whole lot of big moments. And we tried to replicate that just in the freshman this year, and it just did not take. Really? And it was a fail, really. Mm-hmm. And so we want to grow in, you know, how to continue to build those relationships in a more effective way. So next year will be actually different when you become a freshman.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be a little bit different with a little bit.
My group's real rowdy.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, I mean, I like the rowdy groups.
Need, like, shot collars and something.
Yeah. But anywho, hope that answers your question. Yeah, you going to say anything, Steven?
No, I was going to go, but anywho.
Guys, this was fun.
This really was
our bonus episode. It's supposed to be a little bit longer because it's bonus.
It's bonus. And, no rules.
But thanks for listening to the PYP, the Practical Youth Pastor. If you would like to send in some of your quandaries, queries, and questions.
Just like Joel S. did.
From Tucson. We would love to hear them and speak into those things. And so you can email us at thepracticalyouthpastor@gmail.com, and we'll be sure to get on that and add it to a series in the future. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
See you.